Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 79 for the week of September 14th, 2020. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. You can also download a PowerPoint presentation that includes images of those same charts you can use in your own presentations. So first things first, it's Truck Driver Appreciation Week, and I think we can all agree that if there's ever a year when we needed to thank and honor truck drivers, it's this year. It's been a year in which we asked them to put themselves in harm's way during a period where we really didn't know how dangerous it would be to be in the world, and for really quite some time and more than we would have liked, we didn't even have the proper tools for helping them deal with the pandemic. The reward for many of these drivers was lack of employment for weeks or months after the contraction. But now everyone suddenly realizes we need them again. Of course, we have needed them all along, not only to provide basic needs, as they have always done, but also to provide the vital materials and supplies required to respond to the pandemic and to keep everyone safe and healthy. So thanks to the approximately 3.6 million professional truck drivers in the United States. Well done. And speaking of truck drivers and the pandemic, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration last week extended its emergency declaration, which provides relief from enforcement of various safety regulations for drivers and carriers who are directly involved in providing COVID-19 assistance. Now, until now, FMCSA has issued a series of one-month extensions of its original declaration, which was issued in March. This time, though, the agency acknowledged, I think, the obvious, which is that the emergency decidedly will not be over in the next 30 days. So the latest version simply extends the most recent version of the declaration through December 31st. For the declaration and other FMCSA guidance and notices related to COVID-19, visit the FMCSA website at www.fmcsa.gov/COVID-19. Okay, before we dig into the spot market and economic indicators for the week, let's take one final look at the second quarter of 2020. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about the initial not seasonally adjusted revenue for the trucking industry in Q2. Last week, we got seasonally adjusted figures, and that makes it much easier to see just how bad the quarter was. And we also got more granular data. So let's get into this and get it over with. We'll start with truck transportation, which is what the government calls the for-hire segment of the trucking industry. Revenues in Q2 plunged 16.7% quarter over quarter and 17.2% year over year, seasonally adjusted. And by the way, with one exception, which I will point out when we get there, all of the data that I'm going to be talking about on Q2 in this podcast is seasonally adjusted data. So a decline of 17% is not surprising, and it is by far the largest drop since the Census Bureau began reporting the data more than a decade ago. The largest year-over-year decline before that was 4.8% in the fourth quarter of 2015, although I should point out that the data doesn't start until we were deep into the Great Recession, so we wouldn't have any prior year comparisons from that period. The Census Bureau tracks revenues for general freight and specialized trucking separately, but it's important to keep in mind their definitions do not really precisely match up to how we would think of them. General freight is basically dry van and container, and that makes sense. Specialized is everything else. That doesn't quite match up with how we think of it, because we don't normally think of refrigerated as specialized. We sort of lump it into a subcategory, I would say, of general freight. But in this comparison, that is what we're looking at. General freight trucking revenues were down about 15% both year over year and quarter over quarter. We also have not seasonally adjusted data that looks at long distance general freight revenues. Those were down 11.1% quarter over quarter and 16.7% year over year, which is the same as the total for truck transportation or for general freight. Specialized freight trucking revenues took a much bigger hit, plunging 19.7% quarter over quarter and 21.3% year over year. Now, there is one segment of goods transportation that had an outstanding second quarter, and that is, of course, parcel and local delivery. Revenues for the segment that's formally called couriers and messengers were up 6.4% quarter over quarter and 12.6% year over year. Okay, let's talk about the spot market. We have become accustomed to hearing about record-setting weeks. That didn't happen during the week ended September 11th, which was week 36. However, there's a very good reason for the relative weakness that has absolutely nothing to do with how the market overall is performing, and that is the Labor Day holiday. Total load postings week over week fell 16.4%, the most since mid-April, although the drop just barely outpaced the decline during the week that included the Independence Day holiday. Truck postings fell 11.4%, their largest decline since mid-May. But capacity obviously did not fall by as much as load volume despite the holiday and also the international road check inspection spree that we had last week. Spot load postings in the truckstop.com system in week 36 were about 67% higher than the same week last year, and nearly 94% above the five-year average for the week. Year-over-year comparisons in all key segments, dry van, refrigerated, and flatbed, were slightly weaker in week 36 than they were in week 35. With the decline in loads outpacing the decline in trucks, the market demand index, which is the ratio of loads posted to trucks posted in the truckstop.com system, eased after five straight record highs. In past years, the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance's road check event occurred during the week following the week that included Memorial Day. So that week saw loads rising due to the disruption, while truck postings were made fairly low. This year, the Labor Day holiday loss of volume more than offset the road check disruption impact, at least in terms of the weekly metrics. Dry van loads fell nearly 20% from the prior week, which had been a record for weekly volume. Loads in week 36 were more than 87% higher than the same 2019 week and 94% above the five-year average. Truck postings were down about 15%, not quite as much as loads were down, so the dry van MDI dropped after five straight weekly records. Refrigerated spot load postings fell more than 21% week over week. Like dry van, refrigerated loads in week 35 had been a record. Refrigerated loads were about 44% higher than the same week last year and 66% above the five-year average. Likely because rates have become so strong, truck postings were down only by 1% despite the holiday, so the refrigerated MDI dropped sharply after setting four records in the past 5 weeks. And flatbed spot load volume dropped about 12% from the prior week. Load postings were nearly 67% higher than last year and slightly more than double the five-year average. Volume was down in all regions, although the declines were notably sharper in the Southeast, South Central, and West Coast regions than in the others. The decline in flatbed truck postings was slightly larger than the decline in loads, so unlike the other two segments, the flatbed MDI edged up and was again the highest level since 2018. So let's touch on rates really quickly. The broker posted rate per mile, excluding fuel, was basically unchanged in week 36. And it was about 24% above last year and nearly 18% above the five-year average. Dry van rates, which were down about 2 cents, were about 36% above last year and 28% above the five-year average. Refrigerated rates were down about 4 cents, but were still about 24% above last year and nearly 19% above the five-year average. Flatbed was the only major segment to see a higher rate, nearly 3 cents above week 35. Flatbed rates, which were higher about, flatbed rates were about 21% higher than the same 2019 week and 15% above the five-year average. So to wrap up on the spot market, it was a softer week, but there's no reason to think that it reflects anything other than the Labor Day holiday. We'll discuss the current week in the next podcast and see whether we have snapped back to the hot market we have become accustomed to. Okay, let's talk quickly about petroleum and fuel. Crude prices recently have seen their first noticeable movement since mid-June, as the price of a barrel of West Texas Intermediate crude has been below $40 a barrel for more than a week. It doesn't seem to be falling very rapidly, though. Meanwhile, diesel prices were down for the second straight week, easing 1.3 cents to $2.42.2 cents a gallon for the week ended September 14th. Okay, moving on. Two more weekly data sets to review, unemployment and mortgage rates. Let's get unemployment out of the way. Initial claims for unemployment benefits were unchanged at 884,000 seasonally adjusted for the week ended September 5th, the Labor Department reported. Continued claims increased slightly for the week ended August 29th. This data does lag by a week. And that number now is 13.4 million. And that's high enough, but the total number of people receiving unemployment benefits is significantly higher, and that's because continued claims under a special federal program for non-payroll workers, such as sole proprietors or independent contractors, rose by more than a million to 14.6 million. Another federal program for people who've exhausted their eligibility for the regular state programs was basically unchanged at 1.4 million. So if you combine the regular unemployment with these two federal programs, you see that more than 29 million Americans currently receive unemployment benefits. As of September 14th, all states but South Dakota are participating in the Lost Wages Assistance Program, which is a stopgap program that President Trump created to provide $300 a week on top of regular benefits. And you'll recall that replaced a $600 a week supplement that they were getting before the end of July. Now, LWA, as we've mentioned before, is funded by $44 billion in disaster relief funds. And that fund, or that source of funding, is just about to run out of money. Meanwhile, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of progress on any further rescue from Washington. There was a Senate Republican plan that would have provided about $500 billion in unemployment aid. Basically, it would have continued the $300 a week through the end of this year and provide some more money for the Paycheck Protection Program, which helps small businesses. That was blocked in the Senate by Democrats who failed to give it the 60 votes that were needed for it to proceed. The Democrats favor a much larger assistance package, which would be $2 trillion, although they have said they were willing to cut, I think, a trillion out of that. Okay, on to something more pleasant. If you are buying or refinancing a home, or you're involved in transportation that is related to residential construction or furnishing homes, This is good news for you. Freddie Mac on Thursday reported that the rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage fell to 2.86%, which is slightly lower than the previous record that was recorded on August 6th. That is the ninth record-low interest rate for 30-year fixed-rate mortgages since March. Freddie Mac, in announcing this, suggested that as we look ahead to the fall, the limiting factor in home sales is probably not going to be the demand for homes, but actually the supply for homes. Okay, so we are in that lull that's between the jobs report and the week, which is the coming week, that includes a whole bunch of data on both the industrial and consumer sectors. So we don't have a lot, but we do have the producer price index, which is a look at pricing based on data obtained from sellers. The producer price index for truckload primary services in July had experienced one of its largest gains month over month on record. But the August increase was not nearly so strong as the PPI rose 0.7%. The truckload producer price index is down 1.5% both year over year and since February. But that really is quite a recovery when you consider that it was down 7.5% year over year just a couple of months ago. The producer price index for less than truckload primary services was little changed at a decline of 0.2% month over month. The LTL PPI is down 0.4% since February, but it's actually just above flat at 0.1% year over year. We also look at producer price indexes for heavy equipment. As usual, not much change is happening in the heavy truck PPI, which was up just 0.1% in August over July. And year over year, it's up about 0.5%. This is just a category where prices just in general just creep up very gradually, sort of moving up with inflation. Now, the trailer producer price index, however, has come down quite noticeably during the pandemic after it had leveled off in August of last year. The trailer PPI was down 0.3% month over month and is down 1.9% since February and 2.3% year over year. Finally, today, let's take a look at preliminary data on inventories relative to sales in the supply chain. Now, we won't get official July data until later this week, and we'll talk about that in next week's podcast. But advanced data on retail, wholesale, and manufacturing inventories and sales or shipments independently do allow us to calculate what the final report likely will show, or at least pretty close to it. In a normal economy, we frankly don't worry too much about looking at this advanced data. But given the volatility that we have since the pandemic began, and the likelihood especially that inventories are what's driving a lot of what's happening in transportation, it's really worth taking the extra effort to get a few extra days of insight or a few earlier days of insight. So the preliminary data, which I've calculated, shows manufacturing and wholesale inventories relative to sales in July coming down to much more normal levels. But retail inventories are just as lean as they were in June. So in manufacturing, the Census Bureau reported that the ratio of inventories to shipments fell to 1.43 in July, which is higher than it was before the pandemic, but much lower than the 1.51 ratio in June, and of course, lower still than what we saw in April and May. In wholesale, the inventories to sales ratio dropped to 1.32 from 1.38 in June. 1.38 was a little elevated. 1.32 is only slightly higher than it was in January and February. And before that, actually, was the lowest that we had seen since October of 2018. That's true in a lot of the categories as the pull forward in Chinese imports that we had in late 18 in anticipation of higher tariffs had left inventories in large parts of the supply chain a little bit elevated relative to where they had been before. Now, retail inventories, meanwhile, are still very lean. My calculation is by looking at advance data that was reported separately for inventories and for sales is that the July inventories to sales ratio in retail was essentially unchanged in July from June at a record low 1.23. So assuming this data is more or less confirmed by the final report we get this week, we're looking at a retail sector that is still really hungering for more inventory at the same time that the push to replenish retail inventories has begun to pull through other stages of the supply chain. It's frankly not too surprising that inventories didn't improve in July because it was only then that we started to see a real rebound in West Coast imports, which account for a big share of retail goods. And of course, it takes a while for those imports to then make it into retail inventories. By all accounts, imports are booming throughout U.S. ports, so perhaps we'll see a more normal inventory situation soon in retail. On the other hand, given how close we are to the holidays, we might not see retail inventories normalize until next year. And that likely means strong volume and rates in the spot market for weeks and weeks to come. As we know, on the retail side, there's only so much you can do without the imports. So that is what we're seeing in the booming. It is quite possible that after the end of the year, we will be heading into something that is going to be a much softer period of time. Okay, so that's it for this week's podcast. Let's recap. Spot market volumes eased due to Labor Day. Crude prices have dropped below $40 a barrel. Diesel prices eased by more than a penny. First time unemployment claims were unchanged at 884,000. Continued claims under state programs eased to 13.4 million. Continued claims, increased to 13.4 million. My apologies. Continued claims under federally funded programs rose to 16 million. Mortgage rates fell to a record low for the ninth time this year. The truckload producer price index was up slightly in August. The LTL producer price index was down slightly. The trailer PPI continued to ease while the heavy truck producer price index was little changed. Inventories in retail remain extraordinarily lean, and manufacturing and wholesale inventories are markedly leaner than they had been. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 79 for the week of September 14th, 2020. As always, you can download PDF and PowerPoint files accompanying this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.